You're listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
If I may, I want to speak from a very honest and vulnerable state today. Today's going to be very different than how I normally preach. My subject is going to be too raw for some. I understand that. One might even question with the events of this past week if it's too soon. And through much prayer and consideration, church, what I want you to understand is that I believe that this is probably the most practical message that I could preach for this hour. And so if you will just bear with me and let me get through this, I want to speak to you on the subject, disappointed with people. Disappointed with people. Disappointment. If we were to break that word down, disappointment, disappointment, it would mean to undo or miss an appointment. To undo or miss an appointment. Let me explain it like this. You set an appointment and it didn't happen. In other words, there was an expectation that was set and that expectation was not met. That's what disappointment really is. It's an unmet expectation. It was a disappointment. And disappointment comes in many shapes and variations. Maybe you went to a restaurant and you had expectations of what the meal was going to look like or even taste like. But when it comes to the table, it didn't look anything like the picture on the menu. And so there's a disappointment with that, right? Or maybe when they took the drink order, you ordered Coke, but the waitstaff brought you Diet Coke. And there's no greater shock than when you're expecting Coke and you get Diet Coke, right? It's a major disappointment. Maybe you accepted a position or a job and you had high expectations of what that job would look like, but unfortunately, it didn't live up to what you imagined. So there's disappointment there. And maybe you dreamed of what your marriage would be only to find yourself 5 years later, 10 years, 15, 25 years later, and you are disappointed and you're miserable in your marriage. Because disappointment is no respecter of persons. It hits all of us. It will attack every race, both genders, young and old. Disappointment is inevitable. It will hit at some point. When we planted DCC in 2006, I implemented and taught some principles that resonated with my spirit from a book that I read from a mega church pastor that was pastoring a church out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I want to put everyone at ease today. I'm not saying any name. I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm not bringing any names to the pulpit, okay? So just everyone relax. But this particular book by this mega church pastor was fundamental for the type of church that we would become, because it talked about core values like servanthood, which is a core value for us. It talked about the importance of relationships within the body of Christ. It talked about accountability. And these core values were directly derived from the teachings and writings of this particular pastor. I remember attending a conference in Lakeland in the early 2000s with the church staff that I was a part of down in Tampa. And we went and went to this conference, and we found ourselves sitting on the second row in a room full of pastors. It was a pastor's conference, pastors and staff, and so we were sitting on the second row. And as we are preparing for worship, as the service is about to start, that mega church pastor came in and sat right by himself on the front row, right in front of me. And I was a little starstruck, to be honest with you. You know, I know a lot of you can care less about meeting a mega church pastor, but I knew his ministry, I knew the success that he had, and I was a little starstruck. And I remember when he got up, he was the keynote speaker that day, and I remember when he got up and he went to the stage and he taught. It was an amazing teaching, but I'll never forget this phrase that he said to a bunch of pastors in the room that day when he said these words: "Pastors, deal with your private sin privately before it embarrasses your family publicly. Deal with your private sin privately before it embarrasses your family publicly. And these wise words of wisdom from a trusted church leader rang through my heart. And I knew what it meant. I knew what he meant. And it challenged me. In November of 2006, our church was only about 2 months old. At the time, I was the only employee of Destiny Community Church at the time. I was the only one in the office. And I'll never forget when the news hit, and it went national. I mean, it was on every news channel, that this pastor had fallen from grace. The same pastor that made that comment, that wrote that book, the same pastor had fallen from grace and had been privately living a lifestyle that was contrary to the Word of God involving sex and drugs. Some of you will remember, and I'm not saying any names, but some of you will remember. And it rocked me. It devastated me. I had a lot of faith in this individual. I had put a lot of trust in them, even though I didn't really personally know them. I had only spoken to them one time in my entire life. There was just so much admiration that I had for them and for their ministry. How could a man so full of godly wisdom fall so horrendously? How could it happen? And I can honestly say that that event caused me to shed some tears. I cried. I sat at my desk in an office right by myself, and I cried when I found out. Fast forward almost 18 years. And if I am to be honest with you today, this message comes from a place of personal disappointment. Because you see, recently, some more of my most favorite pastors, preachers, and teachers have recently disappointed me. It started back in December of 2023, just this past year, when allegations were made against a well-known pastor, and it became national news. He was accused of attending sex parties hosted by a well-known music artist. Whether they're true or not still remains to be seen. I have no idea. I know there were some pictures and some videos that were released that brought disappointment to my heart. Over the last month, two more megachurch pastors that I often glean from were both forced to resign after inappropriate misconduct allegations were made. Heartbreaking. One of them that was just made public, made known this past week, involved criminal misconduct that seemingly was swept under the rug. And I know it's easy for someone to sit back right now and begin pointing fingers and saying, well, that's what megachurches are. I think that's a very unfair statement because not every megachurch pastor falls into these categories. I think there's a lot of temptation that comes with that. I think there's a lot of scrutiny that comes with that. And I think that there have to be safeguards put in place. I know that I'm more vulnerable today than I ever have been, with our church being as large as it is, larger than it's ever been, now with two campuses. I know that there is a target on my life. I get that. And so I try my best to put every safeguard in place so that no allegations can be made against my life. But even this past week, right here in our little small town, there was an upstanding citizen in our small town that was accused and arrested for criminal behavior towards a minor. And it's heartbreaking. It's disappointing, to say the least. And listen, anyone who would celebrate someone's mishaps like that, there's something wrong with them. I pray for victims. I pray for the accused, because here's what I understand. Christ still died for them too. Even though we may not get it, we may not understand it, we might be mad as Hades at them, I'd still know Jesus Christ died for them. I've told this story numerous times about the grace of God. It actually comes from a Max Lucado book called In the Grip of Grace. Well, what some of you don't know is that Mandy and I used to own a Christian bookstore. And I remember this book when it was released, and I remember reading this book, and I got to this certain chapter in this book, In the Grip of Grace, and it ticked me off. The entire chapter ticked me off. Because he tells the story in the book of Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, the Milwaukee murderer, cannibal, And he tells the story of Jeffrey Dahmer going to prison and supposedly finding a relationship with Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness in prison. And then he was brutally murdered and killed by other inmates. And here's what he said in the book, that if he found a true relationship with Jesus Christ, the same heaven that I will experience is the same heaven that Jeffrey Dahmer will experience. Now, whether or not that happened, I have no idea. But what I'm telling you is that's the grace that's greater than our sin. And so before we point fingers at others and just fill our hearts so full of hatred, we have to understand that there is forgiveness for it. Even if we can't find it in our own hearts, if they seek the forgiveness of Christ, it's there. It's there for the taking. But what do? When we are disappointed with people? How do we process it when people let us down? Hear me, church. Because it's inevitable. It's going to happen. At some point in time in your life, someone is going to let you down. And I'll just say this. You're probably going to let somebody else down too. Because the one thing that I know about humanity is that at some point, we will mess up. We will. We maybe not to the extent of some. I understand that there's some offenses that are just so much greater. I get it. But imperfection is in our very nature. And left to our own tendencies, we're going to let people down, church. We will. And so disappointment comes in many variations. What do you do when they promised you one thing, but instead they delivered hurt? How do you respond when you thought you meant something to them, but they treated you as expendable? When you poured your heart into it, but they shattered your heart into a million pieces, what do you do? When daddy abandons the family, when mommy drinks too much, when your spouse goes outside the marriage, when your children disown you, what do you do with this disappointment? Because the fact is, at some point in time, people are going to disappoint you. It happens. So what do you do with it? And so what I want to do today is very different. I don't have a main passage of Scripture today. Matter of fact, Tim, I'm going to open my Bible, not to a particular passage, but you're usually watching for me to close my Bible for you to come to the keyboard. It will still be the sign, but I'm not reading from a particular passage. Okay? Now you're in on our secret. You've looked behind the curtain. You've seen behind the scenes, okay? It's like the Wizard of Oz up in here. All right. But very practical lessons, and I'll give some scripture to kind of support some of this. But in dealing with my own disappointment with people, I want to help us somehow find some healing here, okay? Three lessons for us to learn through disappointment. The first one is this. Let's learn from the mistakes of others. I think it's a great opportunity. When someone makes a mistake, when someone disappoints, I think it's important for us to take note of it and learn from it. Because I think that one of the most deceitful schemes that the enemy uses is leading us to believe that it's my life and no one else's business. Is that not how we fall into sin sometimes? What does it matter to anyone? Only God can judge me. That should be enough fear in itself. But it's no one else's business. And I'm telling you, if you have this mindset, you are falling for a trick of the enemy against your soul. Because even as Christians, we often think in these individual terms because of our personal relationship with Christ. And listen, it has to be personal, okay? No one else can find salvation for you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But when we think about it sometimes, we think on those individual terms of that personal relationship with Christ. And though it is true that our relationship with Christ is personal, that very relationship includes us into the body of Christ. Therefore, it is communal. We're all a part. We're all connected in the body of Christ. And with that, we have to understand that our lives, our choices, our actions, they have an impact on others that we are in relationship with, whether we admit it or not, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. When something happens, when we disappoint others, it has the ability to impact people that we are in communion with, that we are in fellowship with. And we should consider the consequences of every decision that we make. And I believe that this sense of responsibility will help keep us from making decisions that will disappoint others. But the truth is, it hurts when someone that we hold in high esteem lets us down. Don't miss the value of this lesson to be learned. When someone that we value makes a mistake and they disappoint others and they disappoint us, we should take note and learn from their mistakes so that we don't walk a similar path. It has to add some value to it. That somehow that hurt just doesn't sit there in vain, but it actually brings about a better me, a better you, because we learn from it. Proverbs 21:11 says, when a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. Proverbs 17:10, a wise person will learn more from a warning. You see, we are to look at these and evaluate these mistakes and these disappointments that we see others commit, and we should learn from them. And I pray that my children learn from my mistakes and choose not to repeat them. My dad was a great dad. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. My dad was he was loving. My dad was caring. My dad was present. But my dad was not perfect. The one thing that neither of my parents were good at were attending sporting events that us boys played in. It just wasn't a priority to them. And I can honestly remember my father attending only one of my basketball games. I think there were two, but for some reason in my mind, I can only picture him being in the stands at one of my basketball games. And I remember looking up into those bleachers, and I could take you there today to that exact spot where he was sitting. But in all the positives that there was in that man's life, this was the one area that he missed it. So when I became a father, I was determined that I would not make that same mistake. Because obviously, it hurt me. Obviously, my dad not being there to watch me play basketball, it wounded me a little bit, or I wouldn't even be thinking about it right now. And so I was determined when I became a father to learn from his mistakes, not just to point the finger at him and just to cast blame at him, but to say, okay, there's a shortcoming. I'm going to do better. And so I didn't miss. I'm telling you, whether it was basketball, soccer, cross country, beauty pageants, and talent shows, I was there because I learned from my father's shortcomings. Church, the point is, allow the mistakes of others to become a lesson to learn, not a misstep to mimic. As you work through the pain of disappointment, be sure to learn from the mistakes of others. The second thing that I want to tell you is this. Be careful not to put anyone on a pedestal. I think this is the reason why it hurts so bad when someone disappoints us. It's because we have this natural tendency to put people on a pedestal. And this is hard because when we have faith and trust in someone, we naturally want to elevate them. Because we're looking for people that set the example for us to follow. We long for that. We desire that. And so what we do is we put parents and grandparents, and we put teachers, professors, business owners, community leaders, coaches, aunts, uncles, siblings, whoever it is, we put them on pedestals. When we hold them in high esteem, we put them on pedestals. But the Bible warns us of this. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 5 says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth and all their plans die with them. In other words, what he's saying there is they put their pants on just like you do. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel is their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Psalm 118 and 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I think there's this danger when we elevate people so high that if they fall, it will cause us to lose faith. It will cause us to lose confidence. It will cause us to question the very existence of who we are, who God is, who the church is. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in putting people on pedestals, because even if they never fail, it's still misguided faith. It is one thing, church, to admire someone's life and celebrate them, but it's completely different to elevate them to a place of sovereignty, to where we expect them to do nothing wrong. And so I'm asking you, I'm begging you today, if for no other reason, this message, I need you to hear me with this. Don't ever put me on a pedestal to be knocked off, but put me on your prayer list to be lifted up. Promise me that. Because I promise you, I'm not above attacks. And I need people that will lift me up in prayer, not put me on a perfection pedestal. Because I'm far from it. The third thing is this. Don't blame God. Just stop blaming God. And I'm afraid that all too often God gets the blame for life's disappointments. I think we forget sometimes that we live on a cursed planet. And with that, there comes sickness, there comes disease. There's just things in life that we're going to have to face. There's disappointments that are going to come because we live on a cursed planet. It's not the way God intended it, but because humanity sinned against God and we're all born sinners because this happened, it is just something that we have to deal with. But praise Jesus Christ, He overcame all of that, took the keys back to death, hell, and the grave, and we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. We know in eternity those who put their faith in Him will win. It'll all be worked out. But this side of it, there's still junk we have to deal with because we live on a cursed planet. And we often look and point the finger at God when we're going through the hardships of life. When we face trials, God, where are you at in the middle of all this? And whether it be circumstances or people, we look for someone to blame. I told you last week. It's part of our society right now. And I probably made it sound like that's something new in our society. It's not new. Since the very first two humans walked the planet, they've always looked for someone to blame. It was the woman you gave me. It was the serpent. He deceived me. We naturally blame. And so what happens when something goes wrong, when we're disappointed with people? We want to blame someone. When plans fail, whose fault was it? When things go wrong, who caused it? When people let us down, why did you allow this to happen, God? And we'll shake our fists at the heavens, mad at God. And the whole time in His mercy and grace, He's longing for us to understand it's not His fault. When we fail to realize what we fail to realize during those times is that people have free will. It's a gift from God. But sometimes that blessing becomes a curse. People choose their will over God's will. So instead of praying, "Thy will be done," we pray and we scream, "My will be done." And it results in just that, our will. And our will is always inferior to God's. In Job 34 and 10, Job had three friends that were basically telling him, "You need to blame God. You're in a bad place. This is obviously sin in your life. There's something that's not right, and God is destroying you, Job." But he's got this fourth friend, and this fourth friend speaks up in Job 34 and 10. And he says, "Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong." Y'all, you need to get that in your spirit today. The scripture tells me that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Not sickness, not disease, not people who sin that we have placed on pedestals. That God's not causing that. It's humanity's free will. It happens. people are going to let us down, but God will never let us down. So don't make God out to be the villain, because he's the only one that can heal your hurt. When people let you down, we've got to learn to turn to God. Disappointment is meant to be a temporary emotion. It's going to happen. You're going to feel disappointment, but it is meant to be a temporary emotion, not a permanent perspective. It's inevitable. People are going to let you down, and you're going to be disappointed in them. You stick around long enough, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to do something that is going to disappoint you. I promise. It won't be everyone, maybe, but I promise you it'll be someone. And it's okay to be disappointed. But church, just don't stay there. Just don't camp out there. Because when you camp out in disappointment, if you're not careful, you'll put down roots. And in other words, don't move in permanently to disappointment. Deal with it. It's going to happen. But if you don't deal with it, I promise you it's going to hinder your spiritual walk. Because unresolved disappointment in someone else will lead to an unfulfilled destiny in your life. And it will eventually hinder what God wants to do in you. If you allow him to, Satan will cause your faith to diminish because someone let you down. Why do you think that there's a constant attack on church leaders? It's because of their influence over so many others. Why do you think, especially megachurch pastors, because there's a lot of good that comes out of that. There's a lot of people that come to know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people who are discipled in megachurches. They're not all bad. I promise you that. So why is the enemy so adamant about going after them and attacking these leaders and causing them to fall from grace? It's because he knows the potential impact it can have on people and their faith. Think about it. And some of you have witnessed this in your own life. What happens when you get saved under the ministry, when you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his saving grace under the ministry of a pastor that falls from grace? It'll make you question everything you know about your Christianity. But I have to promise you this, that pastor didn't save you. All he did was share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me this, that the word goes forth and does not return void. When this word is preached, I don't care if it's the rankest of sinners preaching God's word, when it goes forth, it is going to penetrate the hearts and souls of man. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will bring about change to our lives. I don't care who preaches it. Balaam's donkey in the Old Testament preached a message loud and clear when God opened that donkey's mouth and he began to speak what God wanted him to say. And I'm not going to say it, but in the words of Dr. Paul Walker, who is now with the Lord, if God can use Balaam's, donkey, he can use yours. Amen. I was good, Mandy. I'm growing and maturing in the Lord. I didn't want to disappoint you today. But marriage conference is right around the corner. Don't walk away from Jesus because of someone else's mistakes. Just don't. Don't. But also, don't walk away from the church because of disappointment with people. The church is not perfect. That's why he died for her. Because we're not perfect. But the church is being perfected. So really quick, how do we properly deal with disappointment? We begin by exalting God to the pedestal and not man. If you keep that right, I promise you, anytime man disappoints you, you're going to be okay. Because you didn't hold them higher than you held God. When God is exalted, everything else fails in comparison. But we've also got to recognize that we have at one time disappointed someone else. Maybe not to the extent that we have been disappointed, but we have to understand that we're not perfect either. We're just not. And you have to find yourself willing to get to this place that you'll pray for those who disappoint you. I've had to make a statement this week about a couple of well-known ministers that have disappointed so many thousands of people, if not millions of people. And I looked at my wife this week and I told her, I said, I will not defend them, but I'll pray for them. I'll pray for God's grace for them. You have to learn to pray for those that disappoint you. In whatever capacity that is, you have to pray for them. When I always tell this story, and I'm going to be honest with you. I lie when I tell this story. Somebody asked my wife one time, does he make this stuff up? When he says it happened in y'all's family or something, did it really happen? I promise you I don't get up here and lie. But there's one story that I've probably shared. Maybe you've heard me share it. And I don't think I do it intentionally, but it just sounds better when I say I was 15. Instead, I was 14. I don't know why, but at 15, you know, you can get your driver's permit, and it just feels like you're a little bit more older, more advanced. It's not true. I was 14 years old when this happened. I was staying for a couple of weeks in Live Oak, Florida, with one of my friends who happened to be a pastor's son, just like me. Their family lived right next door to the church in the church parsonage. And so I packed up my drums. His parents were on vacation. And we set up in his bedroom, and me and him and another friend of ours that played bass, my friend played guitar. We, right there in the church parsonage, we just drank and partied and played rock music. Man, we thought we were the next, you know, big thing, man. We were rocking out to Guns N' Roses, man. I mean, that's who, we had these young ambitions, you know. This is what we're going to do. And for 2 weeks straight, man, we just drank every day. I was 14 years old. You have to understand, I was introduced to alcohol when I was 12 years old by family members. Not my mom and dad. They had no idea. And I remember that one night there was a group of us that we went out, and I couldn't drive, but I was in the car, and I was accepting of this. We were all drinking in the car, including the driver. And it was only a matter of time before somebody was going to get hurt. By the grace of God, this young deputy comes along by the name of Deputy Kellogg. And he bust us on a dirt road. As he goes back to his car after he makes us open the trunk and he sees the cooler with all the beer in it, all of us underage drinking. He goes to his car because he's going to pull his car around and we're going to load all that up in the back of his car. As he's going up there, I start taking beers out of the cooler, putting them under the spare tire, chunking them into the woods. I mean, we, and my friends just hand them to me as quick as we can because we're not done. If he's taking our beer but leaving us, we're still going to party. The night progresses and we're sitting behind his dad's church. His dad's a pastor. And a cop car happens to see the car back there and comes flying in. And we got busted twice in one night for underage drinking. This time, they took us to jail. I told you it sounds better when you say you went to jail at 15, not 14. At 14 years old, I spent a night in jail. One of the hardest, loneliest nights of my life. It must have been a slow night in Suwanee County because they wanted to interrogate us. And they'd come to the cell and they'd get each one of us individually and take us in there to make sure our stories lined up. And I'm convinced they were having some fun with us. The next morning, his dad, who had just got back into town the night before, had to come and get us out of jail. And when we got back to their house, I had to call my parents to come get me. My parents had to travel from Perry to Live Oak. And I'll never forget the look on my dad's face. Not only was I underage drinking and making poor decisions, but it was with one of his ministry colleagues' sons. There was so much disappointment. But you know what? My dad did not stop parenting me. Even though he was disappointed with me, he still was a loving father. He still blessed me when he could bless me. He still corrected me when he needed to correct me. Yeah, there was that one Sunday night that I went to the Def Leppard concert and didn't tell him, and I was the church drummer and I wasn't there to play the drums, and he got a little ticked at me. He didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. But he still loved me. And he would always come back around and parent me. More than anyone else, I recognize I've disappointed God. But he's never given up on me. No matter how many times I've disappointed God, he still extends his hands of mercy and grace into my life. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Paul said it like this, "I'm the chief of sinners." And I think that when you recognize that you have the potential to disappoint, it allows you somewhere deep in your heart to extend forgiveness. And listen, forgiveness does not always mean you put yourself back in a circumstance to be hurt again. Okay? But bitterness isn't going to fix you either. And I'm not going into it today, but I'm telling you, church, I'm disappointed with some people right now. I'm disappointed. And I'm trying my best to process it. I'm trying my best to elevate God and not elevate man. I'm trying my best to extend mercy and grace, because I have freely received that in my own life, and I'm instructed to freely give that too. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.